Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Wednesday, thanks for being with us. Game number three tonight with the Warriors and Cavaliers, and no Kevin Love, that coming out just a few minutes ago. So we'll talk about that on today's show. The sad story of Sean Rooks passing away far too young. Zach Greinke was awesome last night, and that's what he's supposed to be. But Archie throws today. Can they string together back-to-backs? The Cardinals are out at minicamp. We're going to actually bring you a little bit of their movie that they are debuting through Amazon tomorrow. There's a story nationally that I think is going to pick up some steam today, and it's a high school story up in Seattle around a football program that's been banned for 4 years. It's some of the stuff that they're being banned for. You can look here in Arizona very simply and wonder, well, I've heard some of the same stuff, but this is a major program. So we're going to get into that. USA last night, I did watch the USA soccer match in Copa. The Suns are having a very busy day down at the arena. We're going to check in with Jared Cohen here in a minute. And then Pedro's going to be with us. Pedro Gomez, our weekly baseball conversation around the Diamondbacks. And Barry Bonds actually spoke about how he was a... Eric, what was the term that Barry... Was it I was a jerk, I was a fool, I was a... What was the exact term?
I don't remember the exact context. He just said I wasn't a very nice person back then.
Yeah. And do you think he was talking specifically about Pedro?
No. I mean, he was not just not nice to Pedro, but he was not nice to pretty much anyone and everyone that was around that team during that time.
Yeah. Well, you can only go off how somebody treats you. He was fine with me, and a couple times I'd asked him about some batting practice interview stuff, and actually took a cell phone from me and talked to one of his former tutors down in the dugout. It was like surreal. This is supposed to be a bad guy. So we'll talk with Pedro about that. But there was a big trade in baseball this week in terms of starting pitching. James Shields being traded, that's a big deal. And so if the Padres are already dumping people, is he hearing that the Diamondbacks should be looking at doing the same? And some other things with Pedro that comes up in a few minutes. But first, let's get things off and running today with the Suns. That's where the news of the day is, along with the Cardinals. Cardinals are having day two of their mini camp, but it's June. So what are they going to say? Everybody looks great. Everybody's this, everybody's that. Unless somebody goes down and grabs this or grabs that, it's business as usual. This team's going to be good. We know that. Just get me through August. Get me to games that matter in September. I don't need to hype it every day. Jared is, though, down at the Suns, where today they have not one, not two, but three workouts. So this is unprecedented for draft stuff with the Suns. The draft's just a couple of weeks away now. And how many guys are coming through today, Jared?
Well, I got to think there's at least six, because they have four in their first workout this morning at 10:45, and I'm guessing if there's one at 11:40, there's availability at 11:45 and then again at 12:30, that has solo workouts written all over it. So far, we've seen a few guys come in, Jaylen Brown, DeMontis Sabonis, and Henry Ellenson yesterday come in for solo workouts. So I think they might be squeezing in a couple of those guys to do solos later on today. But they've got four in going right now, which includes Bryce Johnson from North Carolina, that 6'10 forward, kind of that power forward that they're looking for. And then Malachi Richardson, who had all those fireworks for Syracuse through the tournament last year, he's here as well, plus a couple of guys from outside the country. So a lot going on over here, a lot of interesting prospects, and it continues to see talent at the stretch four kind of big man position, those types of players coming in abundance lately.
So this is Jared Cohen. He's joining us down at the arena where the Suns are going through their workout. So Bryce Johnson is intriguing to me. Right? Isn't he to you that he's in town today working out? It's kind of like Jaylen Brown earlier this week.
Yeah, I don't know if he has the same. I don't know if Bryce Johnson's the guy they take it for. I don't know. Jaylen Brown, Henry Ellenson, those are the types of guys to take it for. But he's an interesting player to look at if they don't go with a power forward at the number four spot and then maybe look at someone at 13 with their second first round pick. But he's definitely got a lot of talent. There was so much talent on that North Carolina team. And what Johnson has that others don't is that he's a senior and he's got experience. And he's someone that has been through the grind with Roy Williams down in Chapel Hill and someone that could bring a different element that can make your team better immediately and not someone that you'd have to develop. So he's definitely a name That's definitely should be on Suns fans' radar for sure.
One other question about this. We're talking with Jared Cohen, who's live down at the Suns Arena. They're going through their draft workouts today. There's three availabilities. They've not brought Ingram in, right? I have not seen Ingram come roll through. They have not brought in the top two guys in this year's draft, right?
Nope. No, and there's nothing to say that those aren't the two that are here today. I haven't seen who the other two are.
Right.
I don't know if the Suns are even pursuing them because they probably think they don't. They can't even draft him to begin with, so why bring him in? But I don't think it could hurt. But no, they definitely haven't been in yet. The other guy that's slated to go higher that has had some weird things to say away from the court has been Chris Dunn, who reportedly isn't sending the Suns his medical records and things like that. So those three, I don't know if we'd expect to see down here at all, but there's nothing to say that the Suns wouldn't try to at least bring one of those top two guys in just to take a look, you know, because they do have pieces if they wanted to try to trade up, although I don't think they would do it.
Correct. No, you're on to my point. They do have enough that they could make a run at number one. They'd probably have to have somebody else involved with them.
Absolutely. I mean, and they have a guy named Devin Booker who's just people are just going nuts over, and if I really have a lot of trouble believing they would ever trade this guy, not only to what he meant to them on the court this season as some sort of life and something to look forward to, but also how they've had him everywhere off the court. And to just turn and trade him for a first or second overall pick or a Paul George or one of those other big-name players that they say could be on the move, Jimmy Butler, I just can't see them moving him at all. And it would probably take him to move into one of those spots, not just a Eric Bledsoe or a Brandon Knight or someone of that nature.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. All right, thanks for checking in. Have fun down there. See you.
Of course.
Of course. It's basketball. Who would not want to be in the middle of or the early part of June sitting indoors? There's Jared Cohen down at the Suns. Good stuff there. So back on the Warriors tonight, we have Pedro here in about 6 minutes. We'll shift gears over to the Diamondbacks. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to look at this Cardinals movie, the All or Nothing Amazon thing. I've checked it out, and it's pretty cool, and it debuts later this week, at least for media to see. It goes wide July 1st. So the game tonight, there's not that much interest. Like, the tickets, Darren Revelle reported this morning that the lower bowl a year ago when the Warriors played the Cavaliers was $700 for a ticket for game three. Tonight, they're going for the low $400 in Cleveland. Now, is it that Cleveland fans have just said, we're done, we blow, we're not going to get this, and it's not worth throwing the money down on? The tickets are down 40%. And Kevin Love is not playing tonight. So you start to look at this, at least from my point of view, and say, look, if Cleveland loses and LeBron's got his back against the wall once again, we can all look at LeBron James and say what happened in Miami is because he had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and a lot of talent around him, and they had the right chemistry and they had everything in place. You can look at it now in Cleveland if they lose this game tonight and say, you know, he was supposed to have the same sort of group. And it's one of those, I'm one of the guys that says if you lose 105 to 104, yeah, it's still a loss, but it is how you lose the game. If you think back to Sunday night game two, guys, they were awful. I mean, they were just flat awful. And so far in this series, Golden State has punked them, has kicked them. And if you're supposed to be the best of the best, if you're going to talk veiled about how Steph Curry, I don't know if he's all that, and just some of the things that LeBron has done this year, then you've got to be able to work through it. And it's not like Kyrie Irving is not playing well. He's playing well, just not well enough. So if Cleveland tonight goes out and gets hammered at home, and the people in Cleveland don't really care, like Eric, you've been into this series. You and I were talking last week that this series, you were all fired up for this series. And now the series is two games in, and I'm not feeling the fatigue. It sounds like they're in Cleveland. Are you? Are you like, I'm not into this tonight?
I'm into it, but my expectations have been tempered after games one and two because mentally the Warriors are so far inside the Cavs' head right now. And yet, like you said, no Kevin Love tonight. Not like he made a huge impact in the first two games. And I just don't believe home court is going to give the Cavs that big of a boost. I think this thing is going to be over in four or five games.
What do you think? Okay, help me out here. What do you think is going on in Cleveland where fans aren't even into it? If the scalpers market for lower bowl, or just for a ticket for lower bowl, is off 40%, what does that say? That these people are just, yeah, we've been there, we've done that.
Well, it says that the first two games they lost by a combined, what, 20, average of 28 points or 26 points. I mean, this has been one of, if not the most lopsided NBA finals, a complete opposite of what everyone expected when this series started. So the writing's on the wall for Cleveland. I mean, this, like I said, I can't imagine this thing stretching out, and I can't imagine the Cavs getting back in this.
See, and I disagree with you. I mean, I look at this and say, it's two games on home court. That's what happens on home court. I'm taking more into account home court than you are. And I just have a hard time believing, and part of me believes that the Warriors were playing in rhythm, and Cleveland did have a long period of time off. They did lose Kevin Love. But this has turned into the beat-up LeBron session again. Like, whenever somebody wants to hammer on LeBron, it's easy to do because it's all his fault we stink.
Well, it's not all his fault. I mean, the times that he's led the Cavs to the finals, he's gone up against better teams. Like, that's just the reality of it.
He's the MVP, right? He's supposedly the most valuable player. He hasn't looked like it.
No superstar has ever won titles by themselves.
But Kyrie Irving's not a stiff. Kevin Love didn't play well in game one. Draymond's into his head. I agree with you what you said earlier about into their heads. I do agree with you on that.
And if the Warriors are making shots, no one can beat them. Like, that's just the simple fact. Like, we've talked about on the show. When Golden State misses shots, there is an opportunity to get them. When they make shots, no one can beat them. They've proven that over the last 2 years. They won 73 games this year. So,
yeah, but we've got Pedro, so I'll run here. Pedro Gomez joins us next. We'll go back to this in a little bit. Pedro Gomez is next. He's in Bristol at ESPN, and we'll visit with him about the Diamondbacks, some other stuff on my mind, and Barry Bonds coming back and apologizing for being a fool. We'll get the exact quote and all that straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussmann.
It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sussmann.
Always good to catch up with Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, insider. He is in Bristol, Connecticut. What are your duties this week, Pedro?
Hey, Brad.
Hi, Pedro. What are you doing in Bristol? I'm good. I'm good. What are you doing in Bristol this week?
I am doing baseball tonight, as well as SportsCenter hits, and then tomorrow I am flying to Memphis, Tennessee, and driving to Starkville, Mississippi.
You're going to see your son, and the U of A baseball team has turned out to be one of the better stories. Jay Johnson, in his first year, has done a good job down there, huh?
It's phenomenal. I mean, when you think that they're one of the last 16 teams still standing. And they're the only PAC team still alive, and only one of two West Coast teams because Santa Barbara is still going. So yeah, it's been amazing, an amazing run for the Wildcats, and nerve wracking when your kid gets in there. But I absolutely a joy to be able to share it with him and be able to be there because I was in Lafayette, Louisiana, this past weekend. So it's been a phenomenal run for them.
That's cool. That's really cool. Okay, so when I saw Barry Bonds saying I was a dumbass, and I thought immediately of you, he regrets now how he handled himself during his career. I am curious, because this came out last week, what were your thoughts when you saw Barry Bonds' comments about his behavior when he was a player, specifically towards you?
You know, as a journalist, you're used to whatever, you know, the athlete, the coaches, sometimes they decide I'm going to be a jerk and I'm going to treat these people how I want to treat them. But it's funny that a lot of times they do end up regretting the way they acted, because I think most of them are human in that sense, that they recognize, well, this was wrong. You can't treat people like this. But, you know, Bonds tended to almost take glee in the way he acted toward not just reporters, but sometimes his own teammates. I mean, I spoke to enough of his teammates who, you know, one day it would be, hey, what's happening? You know, you'd have a conversation, and the next day he'd walk by you like you weren't even there. So, and these were guys that wore the same uniform. You know, it's the old saying, you learn how to say hello when it's time to say goodbye. And it's unfortunate that people think that is somehow going to help you, because there are plenty of good guys who are great players. You don't have to be an ass to succeed. And it's just unfortunate that he chose that, because I think he did hurt himself in the long run. You know, he's viewed the way he's viewed, not because of the way the media portrayed him. It's because of the way he portrayed himself, the way he acted. You know, we're just a reflection of what we see. When you see Larry Fitzgerald portrayed a certain way, it's because that's how Larry Fitzgerald is.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just wondering, in the years that you've covered sports, have you ever seen a player quite like Bonds in the way that he acted and now comes back and is apologetic towards it?
You know, I didn't cover him a lot, but I heard that Jack Morris could certainly be surly, and now he's in the media. He works Detroit Tigers telecasts. You know, there are certainly people that learn, man, I should not have been like that. I don't know what I was thinking. And all of a sudden they are more human and just, you know, part of society, because at that point, a lot of them just detach themselves and say, you know what, the rules of society don't apply to me. I can do whatever I want. And yeah, if you're hitting the most home runs or, you know, making the most three pointers or scoring the most touchdowns, yeah, you can probably act how you want, but what are you really gaining in the long run? And a lot of times these players lose out on, certainly on money they could have made, because you don't see people like that on commercials. You right. See people like Steph Curry on commercials, people who have a much better image across the country in the fans' view. And that's, you know, their window to make money is not long, and they're the ones hurting themselves, really.
Talking with Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, insider, and also dad, because he's going to be with U of A this week in baseball, which is very cool down in Starkville. So Greinke does what Greinke does last night. He was great. And today it's Archie's
turn. Oh, God, was he ever.
Yeah, he was really good. Archie should sell his furniture in Reno, right? There's no way that he gets
it back. I think at this point, yes. Archie should, if he was renting, just take it back. Archie has a lot of promise. Let's not forget he was a top 10 draft pick. He's somebody that the Diamondbacks viewed as a big piece of their future. And as somebody at the front end of the staff, not a four or a five, but a 1-2-3 type guy, someone at the upper part of the rotation. And, you know, he's not there yet by any means, but he's had a couple of good outings and he's got to continue that. And you think that at some point guys like that learn, okay, just because I was a number one draft pick, just because they think this much of me, I've still got to work and I've still got to produce, because it is a production game. It's a game of production. So he has helped himself. And sometimes guys don't get it the first or second or third time around. Sometimes it takes a fourth or fifth trip down to the minors to learn, hey, this is a serious business and I've got to treat it seriously. And I think Archie has finally reached that level. And I'd be surprised if he's not successful more often than not from here on out.
Is the reason the Diamondbacks, part of the reason they're in this mess, because when they did the Trevor Bauer and Archie Bradley and everybody was looking at it and saying, this is going to come through in spades, that Bauer simply wasn't ready, or that Towers was too stubborn in the way he wanted a guy to comport himself, even though Bauer did act like an ass. And Bradley came in, and I'm a football guy, but I'm a baseball guy, and I'm going to be all that. That's what I've seen from a distance. That draft, Pedro, and those two players not coming through is a huge reason why this franchise is sitting here spinning its wheels.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt. And you even go back further to Justin Upton and Stephen Drew and Laux. It's like they've missed more. You cannot miss with your first rounders. That's always the rule of thumb in baseball. You cannot miss with your first rounders. You can miss later on, and you could find a gem later on, like the D-backs did with Brandon Webb, getting him in the eighth round. You can find those guys deeper, but with the first rounders, especially when you're drafting that high, you have to have a very high batting average. You look at the Kansas City Royals, and over a six-year period, they had four picks in the first five. Well, they took Eric Hosmer, they took Mike Moustakas, they took Alex Gordon, and I cannot think of the other guy, but they hit, and all those guys are a core piece of what the Royals have done here over the last few years. You've got to be able to draft first rounders and not miss. It's not an exact science, of course. You are going to miss from time to time, but you have to have a high batting average, and that's where the Diamondbacks find themselves now, because they haven't hit as high for a high batting average with those first rounders over the course of the last 8 to 10 years.
Well, you know, you have to throw Dansby Swanson in there too, because of the Shelby Miller deal. I know it's a small sample, but just a year ago, there was so much hope on that one, and they ended up moving him, and Shelby's just been a train wreck. The James Shields deal made me think of what's going on over here. So Shields goes from the Padres to the White Sox, and the Padres are saying, we're not going to win. So is it that time with the Diamondbacks, as we're sitting here on the 8th, to say, you know, we've got some pieces here, or do you think they're still, you know, give this thing about another month, get through the 4th of July and see where they are before you start pulling some pieces apart here?
I think you always are listening. You're always picking up the phone when they call. But I did hear something this week that was interesting, that a lot of clubs are very intrigued with the depth that the Diamondbacks have at third base, because when you've got Drury and Lamb, who are both third basemen, you figure that, okay, the D-backs probably could part with one of those. And there are some clubs that need a third baseman. David Wright is going to be out possibly for the rest of the season, but the Mets did just trade for Kelly Johnson today, who can play some third. So that might take the Mets out. The Royals right now are going to look internally before they look outside. So they're going to give somebody like Chesler Cuthbert a shot at third base, because Moustakas is out for the year. But if Cuthbert can't hang, that's a club that knows we have a chance to win again this year. So the Royals could definitely be a club that could be calling the Diamondbacks, say, 3 or 4 weeks from now, if Cuthbert is not showing the ability to be a big leaguer right now. So the Diamondbacks could find themselves in a situation where they've got some pieces that other clubs definitely would want. I don't think they're going to tear the whole thing apart, but if we're sitting here and it's mid-July and they're still 10 games under 500, absolutely, yeah, they have to be looking in that direction.
Before I let you go, what else is in your wheelhouse? What are you working on nationally for tonight?
More fight reaction from Baltimore with Kansas City and Baltimore. And this weekend I'm going to detach myself and just – watch the Arizona Wildcats try to make it to Omaha. Two more wins. Oh,
you're going to go be a dad. That's cool. That's cool. That's what it's all about. Yeah. Appreciate the time and the insight as always. Thanks. Safe travels.
Okay. Okay, Brad. Thanks.
There's Pedro Gomez with us. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Go be a dad. Go out there and enjoy yourself with the U of A. The Drury Lamb thing, that is interesting. It's really interesting. The Diamondbacks, Drury's been really good for them. And I'm not one that wants to see guys go, but if you've got that logjam there, I still, you know, you look at Drury and they've played him in the outfield some, and I know they've got Peralta back and Pollock. There's some talk about Pollock being back late at the end of the season. So you don't want to part with somebody that soon, but man, if I had to make a choice between the two of those, Drury or Lamb, probably, boy, that's a tough one. I have to think about that one. On the other side, the Cardinals Amazon movie is coming out. We'll give you a preview of that. There's a story brewing up in Seattle. It's actually full born up there. I think it's going to have some national reach here in the next few days. On cheating in high school football. Yeah, what a shock. But this is more than just at the high school level. Explain, and then Sean Rooks passing away. All straight ahead. I'm Brad Sismat. So tomorrow night out in Los Angeles, there is a media event for All or Nothing. This is the Amazon series that is coming out on July 1st for all of you to see. So Hard Knocks has been, I think Hard Knocks has in some cases outlived its usefulness. There's always people that will watch it. I get it. But it seems like the script is pretty much like this. We're going to show you with our great camera work, because that's what they do, and capture the intensity of training camp. We're going to go find a kid who has no business making the team and how he's going to hang in there. We're going to go find a veteran who's trying to rehab himself and come back. We're going to show these guys outside of football. And we're going to get some meetings where they're talking about cutting players. And that's what we're going to do. And it's pretty much the same show year after year after year. Doesn't mean it's bad. It's just that's the part of Hard Knocks. So along comes this All or Nothing through Amazon that's going to be delivered digitally, which is why we're doing what we're doing. We've been doing it for almost 5 years now because the digital culture is where it's at. It's on your phone. It's not on your TV or your radio anymore. It just isn't. And for Amazon to put this into 8 parts, it's very smart by Amazon. They decided that the Arizona Cardinals would be the team that they would focus on. So here is the trailer from Amazon's movie All or Nothing. Okay, it's very cool. And what makes it is the production of it. Without the music, it doesn't flow. Without the play-by-play of Dave Pasch and Al Michaels, without all those elements, without getting a coach down on the field, without having Bruce Arians talk about the stink and the stench, it doesn't work. So Amazon has done a terrific job. They decided on the Cardinals. The Cardinals have a fiery coach. The Cardinals have had great success. They have all sorts of interesting storylines. And I think this will do very, very well. Am I going to watch this and then say, boy, I've got to watch Hard Knocks? Is this the NFL media's way of saying we can do this just as good as somebody else? The answer is yes. I don't see any downside to this. And I'll watch up. Eric, you going to watch every episode on this one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It looks good. And it's different because we have much greater interest it being the Cardinals than, say, the Detroit Lions were on Hard Knocks. I mean, we'd watch it because it's entertaining, but there's a local connection, obviously, with the Cardinals.
But is Hard Knocks still entertaining to you?
No, the novelty has worn off a little bit, but each season is different and unique enough that there is, I don't know, some, I don't want to use the word drama, but there's intrigue with it. But no, it's not like, I watch it when I can watch it. It's not, I don't schedule my day around it.
Yeah, no, and I don't either. I think when it first came out, it was so cool, but it just feels like, okay, we've seen this. Like, remember the MTV show Cribs and how popular that was? Yep. Where it was, let's show the house they live in and let's show the car that they drive. It was unique and it had its place. Now it's like, don't care. Just don't care. That's been done. There's nothing unique about it. And so I don't need to see that. And I don't sense that there's even millennials that need to see that either. I don't think that the whole what you have does much for millennials anymore. So I'm just talking with them. So that screening is in Hollywood. I thought about going out there, but, you know, it's fine. We're going to be in Hollywood next month for Pac-12 Football Media Day. And I'm looking very much forward to that. The other football story, and by the way, the Cardinals are going through day 2 of minicamp today. The King Conference County, this story is one that is huge in the Pacific Northwest. And I do believe if you were to look here in our own backyard, could make its way down here. This is a high school football program. I don't often talk about high school football programs on the Daily Show. We obviously do a ton of high school over on the website day in and day out. We have a recruiting roundup that is just terrific, and we follow kids and their stories, and we love telling them. There's also the downside, and I've not seen a program go through here in Arizona what's happened to one of the top programs up in Seattle, and that is at Bellevue High School. That's where this story originates. Those of you that watch every day or through the years, you know that Brock Huard is on with us quite often. Brock is a Seattle guy. Brock's a morning show host in Seattle. Yesterday, his Twitter timeline was entirely about this situation at Bellevue. They put polls up at their radio show about this. It's such a big deal up in the Pacific Northwest. A committee of athletic directors from King County cited in its report a preponderance of evidence that violations occurred at Bellevue High School. Bellevue had proposed for itself, in the wake of a 68-page independent report that found wide-ranging rules violations within the program. The allegations against the Bellevue Booster Club, so this starts at the Booster Club level. The findings, released a few hours before the King County Committee ruled that Bellevue was being not shut down, but that the athletic department is on probation for 4 years. No postseason games for 4 years at this high school football program. Could you imagine that going on here in Arizona at the highest level? No donations to the program for 4 years by the boosters. Games, they can only play 3A opponents for 2 years. No out-of-state opponents for 4 years. Transfers, stricter guidelines, oversight for incoming transfer students for 2 years. Bellevue's conference title has to be vacated. Conference titles, if the WIAA determines it's the Washington, Interscholastic Athletic Association determines the state title should be forfeited. So this is all coming down, and this is page one scandal in Seattle. They found that this one high school program, a preponderance of evidence that Bellevue illegally recruited athletes to the school and coordinated payments for athletes, and that Bellevue failed to self-report money to players' families. Have I heard of that taking place here in Arizona? The answer is yes. Found a preponderance of evidence that believe boosters paid the tuition of athletes at the academic institute. I've not heard that down here. Eric, have you heard of boosters paying tuition of athletes?
I have not.
There's ways that you go around it, though.
But you follow it much closer than I do. I'm not naive to think that this stuff doesn't happen, but I don't have any firsthand accounts of anything like this happening.
The kids can go get tax credit. There's tax ways to get into private schools. There's a really good read here in our state that Ralph Amundson put out. We should put that up on our site, a link to it, because Ralph put in all sorts of work around some sketch program down in Tucson that's about as close to it as this is.
It's very well done. It's worth the read.
Yeah. No, it is. Ralph did great work there. Agreed in the findings released to the King County Committee, they agreed with Bellevue's conclusions that athletes use false addresses to gain eligibility. Payments were made to coaches without approval from the school district. Shocking. No, it's not. Wait, you parked a trailer over on the corner of this by this school district. Thus, you had a domicile. Thus, you're able to get your kid over there even though you live 30 miles away. That happens here in Arizona. They accepted a Bellevue resolution that it will not renew contracts for 2 years of coaches who violated this rule that stipends and gifts of more than $500 must be approved by the school board. So these assistant coaches were getting their hands greased while they're putting in all this time. I've heard this one before. And look, I live in the wild, wild west of southeast Maricopa County. It is the wild, wild west. Players, programs, doesn't matter. They're all around out here jumping from one school to the next. It starts at the youth level. It would be a terrific documentary if I could get the right people to talk on the air about it. And it doesn't matter if it's Basha, Chandler, Hamilton, Perry, Campo Verde, Desert Ridge. Doesn't matter. It's all out here, and kids jump from school to school, and parents will try to get their kids the best as one-star player. Dad told a high school coach out here in my wild, wild west, well, he'll start going to class if we can throw more footballs to him. Can we work a deal out? No, that's not happening. And some of you want me just to throw all the names out. I'm not going to do that. These are high school kids. It's just ridiculous. Now, in Seattle, in addition to prohibiting the Bellevue football program from receiving donations, King County Committee said Bellevue is not allowed to play any non-league football games and will be limited to Class 3A league games for two seasons. I don't know the class ramifications up there in Seattle, but I'm assuming that is about the middle of the road in Seattle. Bellevue is not allowed to play out-of-state opponents for 4 years, so there's money there that's going to be lost. Bellevue Athletic Department, not just the football program, the athletic department is on probation for 4 years. They'll have stricter guidelines and oversight for incoming transfer students. I've heard about this down here in my neck of the woods and across our state for a long, long time. We're going to make it harder for kids to transfer. Right. And they always find a way through it. Doesn't matter if right now some of the top high school football players in our state decided, let's just transfer because we have a better chance of winning a state title over at this school. They would miss the first five games of next season. They had to transfer by May 20th. And from my understanding, there's at least three high-end high school football players here in Maricopa County that are sitting on the fence, that are playing around with the idea. They like to kind of hint around. They're not all that thrilled with their situation. And they'll sit the first five games if they decide to leave. But, of course, they'll be eligible at the end of the season in the playoffs. That's all that matters to them. And they're all being recruited. It's just dumb. Walk in, shut the door, say, I'm here to play high school sports. The discussion of the penalty phase of the violations, there's several steps they're working through the process. This is back to the booster club now at Bellevue High School. Booster clubs at high schools, typically I've found, having been a part of booster clubs and seeing how this all works, especially at the football level, it's kind of funny how the president and the treasurer and the vice president are usually tied in to the top players. Funny how that works. Not quite sure how to explain it, but you better make sure. It's not like the last player on the roster who's just out there being a good high school kid and his dad and mom want to be involved in the program. They just kind of don't find their way into those positions of authority or power. The boosters, of course, are vowing to continue to fight. The conference's action sets precedent, should raise a red flag to everyone, the booster club said. Everyone. We will continue to defend our right, the right of booster clubs around the state to make these activities available to kids. So, of course, we have grown-ups now that are going to get in the legal thing because of a booster club. There's like, you guys can make such a difference in the world. Instead, you're trying to make a difference with a booster club. Anyways, I look at this story and put it all together, and a lot of this I've heard here in Arizona. Connecting the dots or having the AIA have enough power or enough leadership or enough people that are on the same page, that's a whole nother argument in its own right, having seen them work through the years. I like Harold Slemmer a lot, but there's not been the same group that's been on the same page. It seems to me that through the years, there's been people there that are just, I'm going to make as much money off high school, and that's it. Be interesting to see if something like this takes hold, because I've noticed this morning that this is trending, not just up in Washington, but other parts of our country. And it's a story in Seattle. It's really worth a read. It's the Seattle Times. It's good stuff there. Sports360AZ.com on the other side. I want to get back over to a few other things on my mind, including Sean Rook's passing away. That's next. Stay with us. The Bruce Arians called off their last practice. They're not going tomorrow. How about that? They've got the Amazon debut tomorrow night. Cardinals are done until training camp in late July, according to Kent Summers on AZ Central, at Kent Summers on Twitter. Arians calls off last practice. So we don't have to go through that routine here in June. And let's just get on and get to the season. So that it's good news on that. I just think I know that you want to keep interest going in the sport. That's what the NFL does really well. But after a while, it's just ad nauseum. There's no reason to get all wound up. These guys are working year-round, and I'm on the player side on this. It's just players need downtime. Sean Rooks passed away yesterday, and when I saw the news, I was just stunned because he's younger than me, and he dropped dead of a heart attack over dinner last night in Philadelphia, according to the report. Sean Rooks was actually with the Suns back in 2012. He was part of their staff for a little bit. He's 46 years of age. He met with Jeff Hornacek yesterday about the Knicks. We were supposed to have Jerry Colangelo with us, and obviously when this happened with Jerry running the Sixers, as part of the Sixers, he ended up having to take a rain check with us. We'll probably get Jerry next week, but just a tough, tough story there. And I saw the little quote from Lute Olson about this is a horrible shock. And Eric reached out to some former players. We tried to find Matt Muehlbach today to get him to jump on board. Tried to find Lute today to jump on board. There's no way to put this into terms, into words, that somebody that young passing away. And he was a very good player. Remember Sean Rooks and Ed Stokes, and they had Chris Mills out on the wing. And I think Khalid Reeves and Muehlbach, that was, and Reggie Gary, I think that was that whole group. I don't have the roster in front of me, but.
Matt Othick. Remember Matt Othick?
Sure, yeah, Matt Othick. Matt Othick was lefty, right?
He was. Correct. Little point guard.
But Sean Rooks had a nice NBA career. Sean Rooks was like, he had the same sort of career as Scott Williams, the former Suns analyst who does the GCU games. A 6'11 guy that's going to play for a handful of teams, that's going to have a long 10, 11, 12-year run, who's going to be a good teammate to have. He was a teammate of Shaq's. I saw where Shaq put some nice stuff up about him on Twitter last night and this morning. But that one just kind of hits you between the eyes. When you have players that young that pass away, or the Kimbo Slice death, here's a guy that was waiting on a heart transplant. And around the same age as Sean Rooks, guys in their 40s dropping. That's just hard to believe. And then the USA, I was going to finish with this. So I watched Copa America last night. USA ripped Costa Rica 4-0. It was a nice performance, a statement victory. Jurgen Klinsmann has turned into the pinata on Twitter. When they win, they're great. When they lose, it's all Klinsmann's fault and fire him. There's no middle ground. I did a disturbing thing, though, on all this. Eric and I, yesterday after the show, we went out to eat, and he was talking about how he covered Copa. He's not a soccer guy. Eric's not a soccer guy. It's not a fault of his. It's just not his thing. He doesn't bag on it. It's not on the front of his radar. But when he covered it, and I don't think you had a bad time doing it. It was just something different for you, right? I mean, do you have a greater appreciation now that you've done some?
Well, I was put in a unique situation. I should probably tell the backstory a little bit. I went out to do a story on the Mexican national team who played Friday, or they played Sunday, and I went out to UOP on Friday and shot some of their practice, and I did a stand-up outside the stadium, and then they had media availability at a downtown resort a little bit later on in the day, so I went down there. And I went down there, and I realized that I was the only person that spoke English in the entire room, and that included the two soccer players from the Mexican national team that they brought up.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's just I've never. Yeah, I've been working in the media since what 1990 something, and I've never been in a situation where I was the only English-speaking person in a press conference-like setting.
And there was not just a few people; there were dozens.
Probably close to 100 media people to interview these two soccer players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Chicharito was one of them, which is one of the bigger names, right? Chicharito was in that media scrum?
If you say so. No one was speaking English, so yeah. Two guys in green jerseys sitting up there speaking Spanish.
But it was great that you were covering it.
Uh-huh.
And
big deal.
And but here's the thing on that. Okay, so they had 60,000 plus for the match out at UOP. Last night, they announced the crowd at 39,000 at Soldier Field. And when Fox Sports 1 tried to not shoot high-angle shots to show all the empty seats, that was disappointing. That's a small – you should not – if you're Team USA, in this day and age when we hear about how great and how soccer is loved – and I'm doing the play-by-play for Arizona United. I believe that soccer is going to be here in Arizona in the next few years. I really do.
And that's not uncommon. And that's not uncommon for Fox to do something like that. We see it a lot with the Diamondbacks. No offense, but you'll see a lot of shots of just the lower bowl or just the behind the dugouts and behind home plate, and that's for a reason.
You don't. That's all the team controlling, saying we don't want to show that nobody is here. We want to make sure that we find five kids that are sitting there getting autographs and eating hot dogs And even if there's 5,000 seats behind them that are empty, it will send the message that, oh, you should be here. This is a cool place to be. That's not criticism. It's just a fact.
Yep.
So that's what we've turned into in this day and age.
And then they'll plug the fact that kids can get into the ballpark for free this week.
That's it. It's
good stuff.
It's very, very simple. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now at sports360AZ.com. Arizona-centric, things that we see maybe a little bit off the beaten path, right? We've got our place where the Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart. Thanks for being with us.